I like to do Christmas messages around Christmas time just because I always wish I could do that when I was little. So now I can. Over the years, I've thought about Christmas from all kinds of different perspectives. We've heard stories of Christmas from the perspective of the wise men, Christmas from the perspective of the shepherds, Christmas from the perspective of the angels, Christmas from the perspective of the donkey. Remember that one? There's a book about that one, I think, from the donkey that carried Mary. One thing I haven't heard is Christmas from the eyes of baby Jesus. I was thinking about, how we could look at it from a different perspective, and that thought came in my head. I don't know if it was God, probably wasn't, but I thought, okay, well, that's weird. I don't really think I can do that because I can't really do that justice. What does it feel like to be God and then be born and then be in a manger? So, okay, we're not going to do that exactly. But in the process of going through that line of thinking, it got me asking the question, why did he come as a baby? What did he come for? He came to save the world, to give us a chance to be reconciled to God. So he came to die on the cross. Could he have done that if he showed up as a 30-year-old? Yeah. He came to betray the disciples so they could carry on. Could he have done that if he showed up as a 30-year-old? Yeah, probably so. Show us the nature of God, what God was like. Could he do that if he showed up as a 30-year-old? Yeah. So why a baby? Why didn't he appear as a full-grown man? He could have just strolled into town, the man from nowhere, and been the Savior, riding on his trusty mule. But that's not the way he did it. Why a baby? I don't know. I really don't know. And the Bible doesn't tell us enough, and I think that's a theologically speculative question, but I can tell you what it means to me. I can tell you what it means, how it changes the story for me. I can tell you what it adds to the coming of Jesus when we look at the fact that Jesus came as a baby. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I can tell you that for me, it means things like this. It gave him a family. Because he came as a baby, he had a family. Because he came as a baby, he means that he has a special identification with me and all humans. All of us who are people, that he came in a way that shows he's a person. And him coming as a baby means it could put a godly significance, a spiritual significance to all the things we do as humans. From the beginning to the end. And those three things, I think, add a lot to the story. First, it gave God a family. Sorry, it gave Jesus a family. Please don't take anything that I say this morning to mean that I am downplaying the bigness of God. It's not what I mean to say at all. I want us to take a little bit to think about the person nature, the personality, the fact that God is not just something untouchable, but that he is a person. What does this mean? Sometimes we say that we have a personal God. And I think Jesus coming as a baby is one of the things in this story that bring it clear to us. So it gives Jesus a family. So Jesus coming as a 30-year-old man would have been a little freaky for his family if he was going to have a family. For him to show up and say, "Hi, James, I'm your brother. Remember me? We had all those good times together growing up. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Remember all those times in the carpenter shop?" And that would have been a little weird. I mean, God could have navigated that. He can do anything, but he didn't do it that way. And Jesus coming as a baby meant that he fit in somewhere. He came from somewhere. He had people that he was from. He had a lineage. There's a whole chapter of the Bible. Mr. Verdin's going to teach from that chapter in a little bit. In Matthew chapter 1, that just talks about who he's from, all the people in his lineage. It was not only important for Jesus to have come as a baby so he had the lineage, but obviously the Holy Spirit thought it was important enough that it's preserved all the way through time that we have actually the names in the lineage of Jesus. He came from some people. He had family he was associated with. And he came from somewhere. It gives him a connection to men that goes far beyond just sharing humanity. He also shared the family experience. He was someone's son. He was someone's brother. Most likely he was someone's sister. He was somebody's uncle, probably. Jesus wasn't a loner and unknown and untouchable. He had a place in a family that gave him connections, that gave him context, that gave him people that he cared about in the sense that we care about family members. He wasn't alone. You know, God said to Adam that it wasn't good for him to be alone. And I think he was talking about, yeah, he was talking about the marriage relationship, but he's also talking about the family that was going to come after that. And all of that context that that was going to put him in. And Jesus wasn't alone either. And he valued this experience of family so much that he spent 30 years, 10 times longer than his public ministry. He spent 30 years just so that he could come from a family. What else does it add to this message, the Christmas message, that Jesus came as a baby? Well, there's a special identification it gives to me as a human being. It's special identification it makes with us as people. It makes him personal. He's not just an apparition. He's a person. So let me ask you this question. There's something that makes men and women, people, different than any other creature that's on the earth. Different than the horses and the dogs and the fish. What makes us different is that God didn't come as a fish when he came to earth. Jesus didn't show up as a donkey or a chimpanzee or an owl or a termite or the great pumpkin or even a lion. Sorry, Aslan, as cool as you are, you're really still just a metaphor. He came as a human being. And that gives him a unique connection with man. By the way, I got a lot of this concept from a Martin Luther sermon I read some while ago. And as he was talking on a Christmas day, he just spent the sermon time talking about what does it mean that Jesus came as a baby to us. So it gives God a unique connection that doesn't exist with anything else in the universe, with any other creature on the earth, because he came as us. He came as one of the people. It also shows that simple, ordinary things in life were important enough for him that he wanted to participate in them. He could have skipped them all, but he didn't. Some of these things that we think of as so mundane. You know, when I get a few minutes with Jesus, my time comes up, and I really want to hear from him what it was like growing up in Nazareth. With mom and dad, maybe I sit down with his brother or his sister and talk about what he was like. I would just love to know the story. So what was he like as he growing up? I wish the Bible told us, but it doesn't. It only tells us really the later parts of his life. 30 years is a long time. For that time of history, it was well over half of the expected lifetime that he spent doing this growing up. I would love to know what it was like. But just the simple, ordinary things of life. He spent a long time doing it. It shows me that he cared enough to participate in all of that too. Yes, that is also godly. That is also spiritual. That is also important to the development of all of us. God cared enough about it to participate in all of that. He probably spent time helping clean up the house and he did his studying. How do I know he did his studying? Because when he went to the temple, he'd already read the Bible, all the scripture, right? And he'd read it and he learned it. He probably worked in the shop with his dad. He went to the store. He went to the well. None of this was too small for him to do. It tells me that he cares about these simple things that we also care about. Have you ever seen the movie writers or book writers try to portray a really transcendent big, big God being? How it comes out? When they try to present what they would look like, or what they would be like, or what they would care about, what they would think about, what was important to them. I'm not talking about the Greek superhero kind of God that's not really a God, it's just men and women with superpowers. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the big God, when they try to present the big one. And this towering, overshadowing, all-powerful God-like creature, like the Force. It's Star Wars season. You know, like the Force. If you try to draw a picture of the Force, what would it look like? I don't know. If I was just listening to this the other night. There's an energy, a tension, Luke says, between everything in the universe. Well, that's a real picture we can draw, isn't it? It brings balance and harmony. Like for every Darth Vader, there's a Skywalker. What kind of harmony is that? I never could figure that out. But what does the Force think? If it could talk, what would it say? Probably very meaningful, but no one could understand it. The more powerful they are, it seems like, in the depictions, the less they actually do. And they just are a big thinking thing that just bees or exists. It's just, I remember a series called Stargate tried to represent this. It seemed like the most powerful of all the beings talked very slowly and with emphasis. And they talked in riddles that no one could understand. I don't understand. If the being knows everything, how come it can't communicate in a way that everyone can understand? It was not really interested in these simple earthly things. It was a blazing light that spent its time in pure philosophy, pure ideas. It really didn't do anything, and they're not very human-like at all. And then there's Jesus. He, being the all-powerful being, decides to come as a baby inside a young engaged girl and born into at a barn, and spends his first hours in the feeding trough of the barn, grows up as the son of a carpenter, waits until his cousin John the Baptist gets into ministry, gets his ministry full steam going. He waits for him, and then he's attending a wedding as an inconspicuous bystander when they run out of wine. And mom says, "Hey, Jesus, they ran out of wine." And he says, "Mom, we've already talked about this." This is a paraphrase of, I can't remember where it's from, sorry. "We've already talked about this. It's not my time yet." But mom knows. Mom knows Jesus better than his words indicate. And she says to the servants, "Okay, whatever he says to do, just do it." And he says, "Okay, fine. I guess we'll start today. So you guys go get some pots and fill them up with water and go take." And I could be wrong, but didn't mom just influence when the God of the universe just started his public ministry? Yeah, that's so people-like. It's so human. We totally get that. Why could she influence it? Because he likes her, and he honors her, and it's personal, it's interactive, it's relational. This is what God is. It's so incredibly human. That's what it means to be a person. Jesus came showing us that God isn't just all powerful. He's a person. This is not the way blurry lights in the movies act when they're going to change history. But Jesus came from somewhere, from someone, and had important people in his life. Remember, he paused right in the middle of dying for the people, all the people of the world. He paused right in the middle of it and said, "Hey, brother, don't forget mom. I'm going to be out of commission here, and so I'm not really going to be able to help. So you got mom, okay?" Right in the middle of doing all this, he's taking care of his mom because he's connected, because he came from somewhere, from someone. He's so much like a person. Maybe it's because God is a person. And that's what he was coming to show us. He's so real. He was so real and so connected. It really confused people in his hometown. Remember how it drove the people in Nazareth crazy? Thinking, when we go and look for God, they thought, we don't expect to find him down the street. We don't know exactly what God's going to look like when he comes, but it can't be him because he's Joseph's son. He grew up here. We know him. He's a good kid, but he's a person. He was so person-like, they couldn't deal with it. They couldn't accept that he was the one. No one expected the Son of God to be the kid down the street, even if he was a good kid. Because no one thought that those unremarkable things at the beginning of life were something that God valued enough to participate in. And because Jesus came as a baby, it adds all this to the story. These simple things he also cares about. You know, we are made in God's image. That means that he made us to be like him. And he came to show us what he's like. And now we're surprised to find that he's a lot like us. Right? Let's just soak that in. What if God made us a lot like him? Because he was a person. And he made us with all of these characteristics too. He cares about the things that we live with. He cares about the things that we care about. There's actually a godly way to be a carpenter's son or to be a carpenter. There's a godly way that you could craft wood. I would love to hear those stories. I would love to see some of the things that came out of the shop. There's a godly way to be a part of a small village. There's a godly way to be a young boy that grows up and goes and visits the temple. There's a godly way to do all the things that Jesus did when he was growing up. There's also a godly way to see the world. And he sees the world like I see the world. He's not so utterly different that he sees white when I see black. Or that he sees kindness when I see cruelty. Or that he sees good when I see evil. He weeps for injustice just like I do. How do I know that? He wept for his friend Lazarus when he was taken before his time. When Jesus was here on the earth, Jesus got frustrated with the fleshly representation of religion by people that didn't know God and people that were pretending to be spiritual, trying to lead people in the wrong directions. He was so frustrated with them, he threw them out of the temple. Remember that? Jesus was one that felt deeply a loss for and pain for a mother whose son died before his time. He cared enough about it to wreck the whole funeral procession and raise the son from the dead right there in the street. Remember the story? That's why I call it Jesus Goes to a Funeral. Jesus cared enough that he felt sadness when friends betrayed him, like Peter and like Judas. But then he also brought Peter back when Peter came back to him. He accepted Peter back. It tells me that Jesus was the kind of a person who cares when people have answers and they have questions and they need answers. He cared enough to talk to 5,000 people for 3 days. Everyone getting hungrier and hungrier, but they needed answers and he wanted to teach them and he cared enough about them to stay that long. He was a person that cared enough about the women who had been deceived and made wrong decisions, bad choices in their life. He cared about them, even though they were bearing the consequences of their bad decisions. He cared enough to talk to a Samaritan woman by the well and tell her the story about living water. And he cared enough about a woman who was guilty and caught in an act of adultery that he stayed to protect her. He loved children. He was the kind of person that stopped for blind men right in the road, even when he was on the way to his own crucifixion, to heal them. He sees things like we do. He feels things like we do. Because, you know, I started out saying that he came to earth as a baby to show that he was a lot like us, but really, that's not the real reason that I'm saying all this. The real thing that is true is that he made us to be a lot like him. this amazing combination of compassion and curiosity, passion for justice and tenderness in the heart for mercy. Artistic craftsmanship and personal connection and teacher is all what God is like. And he made us to be like him. This is one of those truths about God that never gets old for me. He's not a silent, impersonal force, some distant, uncaring creator who spun the world into existence and just let it go. He's not some harsh tyrant or cruel, capricious person. He's not some despot who one moment will save a town from a flood and then the next moment will smash cars together on an interstate because it pleases him. God is a person who feels and who loves like we do. He teaches and he cares, and he's not just a force. The third thing that it tells me that Jesus came as a baby tells me about the story of Jesus about us is it gives a spiritual significance to all things that we do as humans. He related to people like we do. He didn't come as a man that acted so different that he seemed alien to us. He was respected by men that didn't even understand the religious teaching he was teaching. So what I mean is he came looking like us, but looking like the best of us. And he excelled at all of the things that we consider honorable. By this, I learned that there's a godly way to do everything that we do. Jesus coming as a person breaks down this separation that we sometimes have in our mind between the secular and the sacred parts of our lives. Some people have this picture of the world where there are spiritual things and then there are not spiritual things. We have this picture of God that he's involved and cares about all the spiritual things and doesn't care about the mundane or simple things of our world. Sometimes we picture God as he's up there in his heaven. He's dealing with his things. He's fighting in the angel wars, or he's pushing dark clouds around, or he's tearing down principalities, or he's clarifying high manners of theology and setting up new prophetic messaging for the next era, or he's drawing people to repentance, or all of these things which he is doing. But when it comes to earthly things, sometimes you forget that he cares about those too. What about, does he care about why my car won't start? Does he care about why my children won't listen to me? Or does he care about how I run a better business and to make money for my family? Does he care about me learning how to draw a better picture? How to cut hair better? How to write a better story? How to teach better? How to set up a better government? How to run a better project? How to be a better employee? Student, or mom, or child, or soldier, or whatever I am. Does he care about these things? Yeah, he really is interested in all those kind of things too. And the fact that Jesus came as a baby to go through all of life like we do tells me there isn't just a narrow piece of our life that he cares about, and the rest of it's just, whatever. He cares about the whole thing. There isn't the natural world and the supernatural world. Pastor Bill likes to say this. There isn't the natural world and the supernatural world to God. There's only one. It's all supernatural. And I think him coming as a baby and going through all of life shows this. So this is another part about the story of Christmas that is amazing to me, just in summary, wrapping up here. When God came to the earth, he didn't come as a glowing ball of light. I mean, he could have just come as the big ball of light out in the fields when the shepherds were watching the angels. He could have just, shown up right there. But he came as a baby, and it's amazing to me, he came as a baby, and such an ordinary looking baby that the angels had to tell the shepherds which one he was. It wasn't like you looked at him and said, oh, that's him. And they had to tell him, this is how you can find the one, because otherwise if I don't tell you, you won't know which one it is. He didn't come to earth as a larger-than-life statesman or an alien creature or even a giant like the idols look like. He came to earth as a little baby, small and frail, just like any other person. And this simple fact means to the story, means that Jesus had a family. He came from somewhere. He came from some people. He was attached. He had people in his life that he cared about and that cared about him at a deep and personal level. It means, secondly, that Jesus had a special connection with all of us in the human experience. He loves. He had weaknesses, as we do. He had challenges, and he understands all of the things that we go through. And the third, that he tore down this wall between the natural and supernatural parts of our lives. It's really all supernatural. To Jesus, fishing is supernatural. Remember this story? They fished all night and didn't get anything. And he says, where I come from, we have a different way of doing this. And he taught them prophetic fishing or whatever that was called. But anyway, he taught them the supernatural version of fishing. And you put the nets down when God says to put the nets down. Even going across the lake was supernatural with Jesus. Right? When the storm comes. He broke down this concept that there was natural and the supernatural ways or things in our world. So Jesus didn't come as a glowing ball of light. He didn't come as a mysterious, enigmatic, lonely superhero on his trusty mule. He didn't come as an alien. He came as a baby. And that makes the story completely different. Let's pray and eat together. Thank you, Father, for this story. Thank you, Father, for the way that you came. Thank you, Father, for the connection that Jesus made with us. He didn't make with any other creature in this earth, but you sent him as a person that people could know. Father, I pray that you would touch every person in this room on a personal level, on a deep level, and you would show them that you care about what they care about in their life right now. That you're sad when they're sad, and you're happy about the things that make them happy. That you are the one that brings hope for every situation and circumstance that feels impossible. That you came to show us all that you have a connection, that you have an understanding. And then you spent your life giving us hope. Father, I pray that you would bless each person that's here. I pray that you would bless our time of fellowship and of sharing food this afternoon, and that you would be glorified in all of it, in Jesus' name.